It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCBizRadio.com. Yep, that's how they pick us up in Seattle. 77 WABC does have a great signal, but not that far. So if you live on the West Coast, it is WABCBizRadio.com, and the listeners will soon figure out why that was important to mention at the beginning of the show. This radio show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business advice and strategies on so many industries and professions, including sales, social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, strategic planning, retail, communications, time management, marketing and advertising, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll be certain to gain business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. First, we open with some thank yous. Special thank you to Pesach Trapper, the show's producer, Meira Beitler, Dina Student, Rena Teitelbaum, Srilly Saftless here, and the entire team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, and the great team at WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, and Justin, to name some of the key players that we interact with and help us produce our show each and every week. Also, a special thank you to some recent guests, Tom White, from the co-founder and CEO of the C-Suite Network, Will Young, the director of product out at Zappos, so many other incredible guests. They're all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. A quick look at some of the recent other recent guests: Sergey Petrosov, founder and CEO of JetSmarter; Brian Solis, digital analyst, author, and speaker; Jay Baer; Joe Loda, the former MTA chairman; Doug Pritchard, president of SodaStream; Shep Hyken; Todd Buchholz; so many. Jason Robinson, director of marketing at UPS; Jack Canfield; and so many other incredible guests. They're all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, without further ado, we wanted to get this guest on for a while. We got him this evening. Jeffrey Colonne. He is the communications designer at Microsoft and an author of a brand new book. We're going to discuss that. A little background about Brian. He's a communication designer at Microsoft, as I mentioned. He has been the lead designer on many award-winning marketing campaigns for Fortune 500 companies, Coca-Cola, Netflix, Spotify, just to name a few. His recent book, which we will discuss also this evening, Disruptive Marketing. That, by the way, is available also, of course, in Kindle and hardcover and, you know, all the popular formats. It's available out there. Disruptive Marketing. Jeffrey Colonne spells it G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y. So to make sure you find the right one. A little bit about Microsoft in case you've been living under a rock. Yes, they do employ over 114,000 people. A quarter of the planet uses them in some way, shape, or form. Probably higher than that, but that's one of the stats that we dug up. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where we're going to discuss how to disrupt any market, how to merge data and creativity to grow your business, the importance of relationships in marketing. With that intro, we give a warm welcome to Jeffrey Colonne. Jeffrey, how are you today?
Hey, how are you? Great to be here.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for taking of your precious time. First off, I got to jump in. What is disruptive marketing?
Well, let's think about it from a positive standpoint rather than a negative one.
Okay.
The term disruptive, you know, if we think about it, there's a tendency of thinking, okay, hey, what are we doing that's negative in the marketplace? But what I'm really stating in the book as well as in life is, how do we do things a little different so that they follow human behavior, they follow customer behavior, they follow what your customers are doing, so you can actually build better services, products, and solutions using a lot of their sort of behavior to as a flashlight to build these better products and services.
All right. So that's a, as you said, from the positive vantage point, but it's still, it's a, no, because you are using a title, you know, great, and I'm looking at the cover. I mean, you know, you're getting the juices flowing with that cover. It's actually a great cover design.
Yeah. Everyone keeps saying that to me. I'm really happy with the cover design. The team over at, Amicom Books, which is my publisher, did a really good job on that.
Great job.
Consulted
great job.
With me.
Yeah. I mean, you look at that cover, you're like, this, you know, disruptive. You're getting disruptive. You're getting, you know, you're getting the juices flowing. but it's true. That's what makes a great cover. So now let's talk about your role at Microsoft, communications designer. What does that mean?
So, you know, if we think about the world and, you know, tech plays a pretty large role in this. It's not a matter of having a job title that has existed in the past. I mean, I think we should all be working toward jobs that we want to create for ourselves. And communications design is playing more of a role now in our world because we are able to design user experiences. We are able to figure out, okay, how are people going to react or share messages? How do we design that with that thinking in mind? When we shoot a video, what call to action do we want people to take? Do we want them to become motivated? Do we want them to get upset? Do we want them to be happy? It takes a lot of human emotion into the work now. And that's why I think design really is plays a bigger role in how we communicate. It was really just an area for people who maybe worked in graphic design or product design that really used the term. Now I think we can look at design as something that's all around us, especially in marketing, how we design that user experience based on how the digital products that we develop, how we design where that product might sit in a marketplace, whether it's through a digital ecosystem or in a physical location. All that plays into the role of a communications designer and really understanding, you know, what motivates people from a human behavioral standpoint. There's tons of companies that have data on customer behavior, but I think it's really important to understand how humans behave, what motivates us, what makes us want to take action in the world. And understand that we're irrational beings. Sometimes the way that companies think about people, we think about them in a linear model, and that's just not how we behave. I mean, if you think about examples of maybe something that you pondered and purchased recently, you may have thought about it for months before you actually made that decision, or you may have thought about it for minutes. And again, it depends on what that product is, what that service is. You know, in the B2B world, obviously you're going to spend a lot of time because the price of the product or solution you're buying might be quite costly. If you're buying a consumer packaged good product, that decision might come very quickly. But we have to think about how people make these decisions now so we can make those experiences more enjoyable for them, more frictionless for them, basically.
And it's such a great point because you pointed out that a company must keep their eye on the at the end of the day on the point of whatever the experience is that they want to interact with the customer. Meaning, keep an eye on that point because at the end of the day, that's what will engage the customer and turn into a sale.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, we always talk about, you know, hey, this is what my job is, or this is the company that I work for, or this is the company that I created.
Right.
But what we really need to look at is, you know, this is the customers that we created. We've created customer demand now. We have maybe entered into an era where we look where there is the lack of supply and high demand, and we create new business models as a result of that. People still drive what we do in our society, and that transaction and that collaboration and that engagement, I think, is really important to building, you know, future experiences. And I think that's something missing from some companies, but I hope they're able to adopt some of this thinking and put it into their DNA as well.
Yeah, Great point. Now, you've in my research, I see over here, you are a self-proclaimed growth hacker. What is that all about?
You know, the term has existed for some time, and it has really taken on a lot of meaning amongst the startup community, which was, how do you grow a business from zero to one with not a lot of resources, with a lot of creativity, and with maybe a lot of analytics? So you're able to test and learn and create feedback loops that are very short, so you can figure out if your marketing is actually working or not working, so you can pivot or persevere, so to speak. Right. And there are a number of people who sort of fit into this mode at a variety of different companies, most of them in tech, because tech products allow you to see what your user data is quickly, depending on what application you're using or what service you're using, and then figure out new ways that your customers can spread that information for you. As we know in this world, and this is nothing new, technology is just has just enabled it or empowered it more for us. Right. Word of mouth is still the best sales tool. So in the old days, if we go back to when there wasn't much electronic media at all,
right,
it was probably our great grandparents or grandparents saying, "Oh, hey, you have to check out this, this service or this store or this solution." And that even goes back to really almost primitive cultures. If you think about the fact that there were many people that would share information on how to make fire.
Right.
The reason you had to share that is because you wanted to survive, and you were able to survive if you had collaboration. Right. And that is no different now in the modern business era, where you want to know, you want information so you can actually figure out if things are working or not working. It's really changed the dynamic of marketing, where your users are your best feedback loop. They are the your guide in terms of if you're doing things correctly or not. We're in a very customer-centric world now, and thus the change in terms of how we even label ourselves, not calling ourselves marketers so much as using these terms like growth hacking.
Yeah. Put it into great context. My guest this evening is Jeffrey Colon. He is the communications designer out at Microsoft. He has a new book out called Disruptive Marketing. Well, he's a very gracious individual. And he is, we're going to have a sweepstakes this evening. Two lucky winners are going to win a copy of his new book, Disruptive Marketing. All you have to do is send a text to 66866. Put in the word bottom line as one word, bottom line, and send the text to 66866, and two lucky winners are going to win an autographed copy of Disruptive Marketing. Well, a third winner, he's giving away three, a third one is going to be for the Executive Business Collection that we've been talking about, but that's going to be at the end of 2016. But again, if you want to win this book for free, now, by the way, this book is worth it. It's available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, it's in Kindle, it's out there. But it's good to be lucky. So if you just send that text, you're automatically entered. Again, send the text 66866, put in the word bottom line, and you automatically entered to win one of the two books, autographed books, Disruptive Marketing. We're going to take a short commercial break. You're tuned to the Mind Your Business Show right here on 77 WABC. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting websitewithbrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line as a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
And we're back. The Mind Your Business Show with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening, Jeffrey Colon. He is the communications designer at Microsoft. Now, Jeffrey, you know, just to go a little bit off the beat here, you're also a DJ, right? You got great musical talent. You've been involved in some bands and artists. You know, tell us about how that avenue of music has actually aided and assisted you in your career at Microsoft.
Sure. So if we think back to the mid to late 90s, MP3 technology was really sweeping the music industry, and I was really excited by it. I was living in New York City. I had moved here in 1996. Was living in Brooklyn, absolutely love it here.
Wow.
Just a fantastic city, of course, and spent, you know, 17 years here, got married here, et cetera.
Nice.
And was working in this industry and was wondering, you know, how is this going to reshape an industry that had relied on vinyl albums, cassette tapes, and compact discs as its main distribution medium for the past almost 30 to 50 years,
right,
at that point.
Right.
And that was a large disruptor, so to speak,
right,
to that industry. But it fascinated me because it allowed for peer-to-peer sharing. And I wanted to learn more about it. And obviously, a friend of mine told me about Napster, and I checked that out and thought, hey, this is the distribution model of the future for the music industry.
Right.
Of course, this was around 1999, and not many people agreed with me at the time. Again, it's very hard to move away from business models that you're entrenched in. It's,
yeah,
almost by human design that we become very comfortable,
yeah,
in the world, especially when that's our main revenue model.
Right.
But I was really fascinated with the fact that music had really looked at this technology as a way to reach audiences, especially in a very personal manner. And that just opened up the doors for a lot of experimentation over the years. I mean, after the music industry, I went into the consulting business, and I worked for a number of tech companies in New York City before getting into the agency world. But I think that early era in the music industry for me, in terms of MP3 technology and working around disruptive technology, mainly around distribution systems, it just made me want to ultimately work at a company that was trying to reshape itself, that was trying to transform itself. And so I think, you know, Microsoft made an interesting area or an interesting company to join in 2013 when it was really starting to undergo a lot of transformation. New CEOs coming in. There was a new way of thinking at the company. There was a lot more respect for outsider and macro trends in terms of how the company should adopt. It was really moving more from a software company to a software as a service company. That's a big change if we think about how the company had operated for many years and how it operates now.
Right.
And I really wanted to be a part of that. I think it's exciting at least once in your life to be involved in with a company, or at least with a job that requires you to maybe think a little bit left of center or outside the box, just to see how you can transform that company and how you can also help other companies transform that rely on our technology.
True. Now, before I get to my other prepared questions, I just have to ask. I mean, have you interacted with Bill Gates at all?
I have not. I got close to interacting with him when I was going to have ice cream with my daughters. I have two daughters, 5 and 7. Nice. And we had gotten to this ice cream shop in Redmond, which is pretty Redmond, Washington, where Microsoft is based, which is pretty popular, called Molly Moo's. Mm-hmm. And everyone was sort of a buzz when I had got when we arrived. And I was like, why is everyone so, why is everyone talking and so
perky,
perky? Yeah. Like, what's going on? And everyone's like, oh, you just missed Bill Gates. He was here with his family. And I was like, oh, wow. Interesting. So I have not spotted him yet. I have a lot of colleagues and partners who have worked with him directly in the past, some going back 20 years, some more recently with his foundation, which is a really great organization. I have not had interaction with our current CEO, Satya Nadella. Right. I have sent him my book. His chief of staff knows who I am. I have had interaction, though, with a lot of the other top players there. Chris Capicella, who is our chief marketing officer, and Amy Hood, our chief financial officer, and Dr. Chi Liu, who runs our applications and services group, who is a big fan of the book, and a Carnegie Mellon University alum. So
nice.
He's a lot of fun to talk to, especially when it comes to talking to the current change we're undergoing in the computing world.
Wow. My guest this evening is Jeffrey Colon, and what he was referring to is his brand new book, Disruptive Marketing. It's available, of course, at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, around the world. He's very gracious and is giving away 3 copies. 2 we're giving away tonight. All you have to do is send a text to 66866, put in the word bottom line as one word, send it over to 66866, and you're automatically entered. 1 of 2 copies that we're going to be giving away this evening. Disruptive Marketing: What Growth Hackers, Data Punks, and Other Hybrid Thinkers Can Teach Us About Navigating the New Normal. Now, Jeffrey, you do discuss about social media being Web 3.0. That's an exciting topic. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, I mean, if we think about where the web has evolved, Web 1.0 was really the first part of the web, and it mirrored almost print media in the sense that it was taking print articles and republishing them for web usage.
Right.
Then we moved almost into Web 2.0, where it was much more graphically enhanced. This is where you could actually download photos, where you could interact with graphic interface format or GIFs. The web looked a lot prettier, so to speak, in Web 2.0.
Right.
And then Web 3.0, and I think we're there now, and it really is going to change, I think, because of the sort of new systems that are coming into place, is really around this whole social by design or network phase that we're in. And that takes into consideration the fact that mobile technology has really helped enhance that. We can be anywhere at any time, and we have a computer in our pocket now, which we're able to interact with people around the globe across a variety of networks. But Web 3.0 is also those networks understanding a little more of what our intent is. So a search engine in the past would help you locate things. But the search engine for the future in Web 3.0 will actually act almost as a personal director or a personal assistant for you. This is where things like Cortana and Google Now and Siri come into play. It's not so much about searching, Yitzhak, as much as it's really about helping to give more order to your life so you can it can empower you to achieve more in your day-to-day.
You know, Jeffrey, just recently I was by a C-suite network conference that's hosted by Jeffrey Hazlett and some other great executives. And they on the stage, I forgot which panelist said it, said, we're not that far off. I mean, just it's amazing as you're talking, that deja vu moment. The person said, we're not that far off. When that little thing you have in your pocket is your executive assistant. I mean, I was like,
yes.
Wow. Whoa. And they said, we're not that far off. We're really not that far off.
We're not. I mean, these are things that, you know, companies have been working on for decades. But through machine learning, through artificial intelligence, there's more that technology can learn about you, so it can personalize your experiences and then allow you to really have more effect in terms of your day-to-day. And that's going to be different for every person. I mean, a lot of people still will complain to me, hey, is there any way that my calendar application can really know or learn more about me? And I think that's an area where a lot of companies are trying to start. But obviously, how we speak to technology is a big area as well. Because right now, you know, and if you use something like Amazon Echo, you have to say, Alexa, play WABC. And it'll say, playing WABC AM 770. You have to talk to it in a way that's not natural. And what we are trying to really get to, I think, with voice enablement services is we should be able to just say, Alexa, play my favorite radio station. And it will know what your favorite radio station is, Yitzhak, from the fact that it has a catalog of your activity. So it'll play your favorite station, which in this case will be 770 AM WABC.
Well, it is so incredible. Because, of course, on the computer with the cookies, it does that. It's just now taking that over the next step on your
That's
phone
right.
through voice. I mean, it's just wild. Wow. Now, in your book, Disruptive Marketing, you have a lot of great lines, but one of them talks about content is the new currency. I loved it. Could you explain?
Yeah, I mean, if we think about how we make transactions, in the past, when there was no ability for anyone to find out anything, because we didn't have search engines, there was a scarcity of information. You know, you had to go into a company or a store and find out that information, and they would tell you what they had, and you would make that transaction based on, okay, I think this is the right decision. I will purchase an automobile from you. Now we have to learn a lot more. And that comes in the form of content. That content obviously looks and sounds different depending on what line of business you're in. But all companies rely on it now, whether it's companies trying to sell the latest feature film or a company trying to get people to adopt Windows 10 or a company trying to get people to buy the latest mobile phone. Content plays a huge role in that because we are making 90% of our decisions online through education before we ever make that purchase decision. So it really requires understanding who is our audience or who is our potential audience, what motivates them, where do they live, what do they do for a living, what are their interests. A lot of information that you can tailor that content so it makes sense to them. It's exciting. It's educational. It might be entertaining. It might be humorous. It might motivate people in ways that really tie into their human emotions. This, again, goes back to why design is such a huge part of communications now, because we really are trying to figure out the experiences that people can learn from. And then they can share with others. Since we all make collaborative decisions now when it comes to business, even if we're a solopreneur or we're a sole proprietor right. and we own our own business, we still rely on other people to help us make those decisions Absolutely. Because we're social animals by design. And again, this is what I think I was getting at when I was talking about content as a currency. It's almost replaced money as the main transaction. That is that is the person's decision that they have already shown, hey, I'm going to go with, you know, you as a solution, when they actually decide to use their credit card to make a purchase. But that currency is really acting, or pardon me, that content is really acting as that currency in terms of that back and forth transaction that's happening between a customer and a company.
So true. So true. My guest this evening, Jeffrey Colon. He is a communications designer out at Microsoft. His new book, Disruptive Marketing, is available, of course, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores nationwide. Well, two lucky winners are going to win an autographed copy this evening. How lucky. 66866, that's the number to text to. Send a text to 66866. Put in the word bottom line as one word. Yes, misspell it. Bottom line, one word. And you're automatically entered to win one of two copies. He's giving away three. The third one is for the Executive Business Collection. More on that later towards the end of 2016. We're going to take a short commercial break. You're tuned. You're listening to the Mind Your Business program right here on 77 WABC. Stay tuned.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. Team Ahead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. Team Ahead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. Team Ahead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505, to find out how Team Ahead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile-friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. And of course on the 77 WABC app. My guest this evening is none other than Jeffrey Colon, a communications designer at Microsoft. Also, his new book, Disruptive Marketing, is available. What am I saying? Yeah, Disruptive Marketing. That's what it's called. The subtitle, listen to this, What Growth Hackers, Data Punks, and Other Hybrid Thinkers Can Teach Us About Navigating the New Normal. This is some great radio. I must say, if you're just tuning in now, good news. There's such a thing called an archive. All the past shows are available by going to WABCBizRadio.com, and this show is no different. By Tuesday morning, it will be up on the archives by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, Jeffrey, you also talked about how user-generated content. Now, let me frame it this way. We know that users go on there and can go off on a tangent very easily. But companies, of course, want branded content. How can a business keep their message focused when they're not in control to a big degree of the content?
Yeah, so I mean, this is a huge area that companies are
grappling,
facing,
and
some are trying to figure out what makes more sense. Do they try to continue to control that narrative, or do they treat it really as a dialogue? And I think smarter companies right now are treating it like a dialogue, which is, hey, we've put our message out there, and now we have our own users, customers, creating their own narratives, what they really feel about our products and services, And that's a good thing in the sense that we are persuaded more and more by people that we know and trust. So brands are in a place where they should welcome more of this user-generated content, even the negative types. And the reason why I say that is there's a reason why you have negativity on the web. I mean, there are some people who are going to troll just for the sake of trolling. But there are other people who are going to actually say, hey, I don't like the way that this works, and here's why. And if smarter companies use that feedback to redeploy better products and services, they are building a better company for their customers in the future and really using that feedback to build better products and services based on how customers are using their services. So, you know, this is really going to also come in handy as we personalize things more. So we talk a lot about how digital experiences and applications can be personalized based on user data. But what about the physical world? I mean, we know that if we go to a store and we say, okay, hey, I would like to purchase that jacket. They may say, okay, that jacket's only in black and navy blue. But what happens when you get into a world where you say, well, I'd like actually that to be in green or purple. Right. And they say, okay, hold on, we're going to actually go print that design for you in the back on our 3D printer because, you know, we know that you want that personalized. So this is the world that companies have to learn, in the sense that the business of the future is more collaborative. It is using your customers not just from a transaction standpoint, but really as a barometer for, hey, where should we be going in the future? What feedback can we use from our customers to build better solutions, products, services for them? And this can be used by multinationals and local businesses. Right. Local businesses can still use feedback in terms of how people think about the customer service they provide, or if they like the people at the store that they go to, et cetera. So it's not just something just for the biggest companies, but really for the small players, which make up a majority of the world's economy.
Correct. And I just want to remind the listeners, a few weeks ago we had a treat. Well, every week we have a treat, but we had the author of Hug Your Haters, Jay Baer. He wrote that, which is really along the topic that we're discussing right now. And I mean, that's really one incredible work. Hug Your Hater. I mean, obviously, the name itself is also a little bit jarring. Hug Your Haters. Hello. But yeah, also a great book that gives perspective on picking up on the noise that's out there. If someone's screaming, like Jeffrey said, yes, there are some people, you just got to, like, okay, part with them, yeah. But then there's a lot of others. They're really giving you, between the lines, they're giving you very good feedback that your company needs to hear in order to grow. If you're going to ignore that feedback, you're just going to have your head in the sand. You will not be able to grow. Very important feedback. Now, I wanted to ask you, I know that you have no problem tackling this subject, and it's a hot one, and that is emotional intelligence. How important is emotional intelligence in marketing, and why?
So I think marketing has really pivoted from an amplification role to a listening role. If we think about why the position of a chief marketing officer was created back in the day, it was to be the voice of the customer in the boardroom when the chief executive officer or the chief operating officer said, hey, this is what we're going to actually do. The chief marketing officer could actually pipe in and say, well, hold on. Here's, you know, how the voice of our customers is actually behaving. They were supposed to be the representation of the customer at the table. I think in the last 10 years, the role has pivoted to be more of an amplification role. And I think a lot of companies are getting that wrong now. I think chief marketing officers need to go back to the roots of what the position was about, which is being the voice of the customer, representing the customer within the company. And emotional intelligence is important because you have to be able to read what your customers think of you. And that's not going to come just from talking to them. That's going to come from meeting with them, seeing what their sort of physical reaction is. Understanding that you can't just come across with business justifications for the reason that you do things. That's not going to stand in a world where you have abundant solutions and people are going to say, oh, geez, you're just trying to make a quick buck off of us. I think I'm going to move in another direction and find an alternative. This is really important now because we live in a two-way street communication world. In the past, it was almost impossible for customers to give feedback. You know, Yitzhak, if you think about the old days, you know, the only way you could maybe give feedback was you'd write a letter to the company.
Right.
Maybe someone would see it.
Maybe.
Now you could basically get online and you could provide feedback immediately. Yeah. I mean, airlines have really used this to their advantage or disadvantage. Whenever there's an issue, you can basically get onto Twitter or any platform and say, hey, I'm having an issue because I can't find my gates or I can't seem to find the plane or I'm having a customer service issue. And they try to resolve that for you right away. Banks are in a similar situation. That didn't exist for you know, many, many years. So you didn't really have to have emotional intelligence. You didn't really have to care too much about churn. I think nowadays we know that if you lose customers, they're very likely to go and tell 10 other people who may tell 10 other people who may tell 10 other people how terrible your business is. And that is why emotional intelligence is so important to have as a skill set. And it's learnable. Right. It is definitely a learnable skill set. It's not something that comes ingrained that only a few people have. It's something that anyone can learn with a growth mindset.
Yeah. We, in fact, I also want to remind the listeners, we had Chuck Garcia a couple of weeks back. He also had a great conversation. He has a new book out, and he talked about emotional intelligence. My guest this evening, Jeffrey Colon, Disruptive Marketing. That's his new book. Two lucky winners are going to get it. All you have to do is send a text to 66866. Put in the word bottom line as one word. 66866. Two lucky winners are getting an autographed copy, and we're saving the third one for the Executive Business Collection. Well, you're tuned to the Mind Your Business show right here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. TeamAhead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. TeamAhead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how TeamAhead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
And we're back. Disruptive Marketing, that's the name of the book that we're talking about, and the guest is the author, Jeffrey Colon. You're tuned to the Mind Your Business show right here on 77 WABC. Also want to remind the listeners, Jeffrey was very gracious. Three lucky winners, two this evening and one in the end of the year, are going to win a copy, an autographed copy of this book, incredible book. All you have to do is send a text to 66866, put in the word bottom line as one word, and you automatically enter to win. Again, my guest, Jeffrey Colon. He is the communications designer at Microsoft. and Disruptive Marketing is his new book. Well, Jeffrey, a recent survey has shown that a staggering 97% of companies rely on organic reach. I understand that you feel that's a colossal mistake. Why is that?
Well, if you think about the web, it is very crowded, more crowded than Midtown traffic at rush
hour. Which you know about, yes.
I mean, I think there's a tendency of many companies to think, well, we will just rely on the people who are following us or who have liked us on these platforms. They'll see our message and they'll share that message for us. We now know that only 3.5% of people on social media use it in the way it was meant to be used, which is back-to-back communication. Right. The other percentage, which is the majority, uses it for scrolling. So no different than a behavior that we had in the late 90s or early 2000s, surfing the web. Now social media has allowed us to get information that is tailored to us, because your news feed on Twitter or Facebook is different than mine because you have different connections, you like different things. So it's tailored more to each individual. And brands thinking, well, you know, we have people, we have, you know, 2 million likes. That's a large percentage of people that can see our messages. Right. I think run into a mistake because they don't realize that a lot of people like a lot of things across the social web, not just theirs. So there's the factor that their messages aren't being seen. And people weave in and out of experiences, meaning they may see something on social and then they want to go search and find out more about it. Right. So if they're relying strictly on organic across all these platforms, there's the ability to be missed because their competitors might be using paid or targeted or micro-targeted methodologies to reach their audience. And then let's say they go and search for more information and they're not bidding on brand terms or bidding on specific keywords and their competitors are. Well, that's a possibility that they may have lost attention because someone may have found another solution when they actually went to go do that search. So this is why putting together an entire holistic framework for your marketing based on how people behave, using the tools available in the ways that they were meant to be used, as well as thinking of different ways to use those, is really, really important. But I think we're in an era now because of the population online that you can no longer rely 100% on organic. And to hear that staggering figure that 97% are relying on organic still really boggles my mind. It may be also because the reluctance for people to learn the tools required to use paid micro-targeting on the web, or just the ability to not want to put budgets in those areas, which we know there's marketing still costs, dollars or... our capital to actually implement. So it's important that people maybe reallocate money more into the digital side of the spectrum, just because that's where people are spending a majority of their time and will continue to spend a majority of their time as we evolve and move toward the year 2020.
Now, of course, this feeds right into the following question, and that is about SEM, PPC, which of course is search engine marketing, pay-per-click. How do you see that evolving?
I think one of the big things in terms of, you know, search engine marketing is voice search is going to continue to grow. So instead of bidding on keywords, you might be bidding on natural language search. So how would a person search for finding, let's say, the best, you know, pizza in Brooklyn? Right now, that would be through keywords. In the future, that would be through a phrase that would sound more around natural language search. That's an area that I think people have to pay attention to now, because as we know, things move quickly and that could evolve much faster than we realize. Right. I think also the other thing is there's a merging between a lot of these platforms in terms of how they behave, we bid for a lot of audience on platforms like LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, etc. We don't necessarily bid for audience in search, but I could see both of those platforms fusing together in the capability of actually bidding on audience on search engines and also bidding on phrases within social media platforms. We already see this with Twitter, people looking up actual phrases that people are saying to see if they can find content around that. So search is ingrained in every platform now, and I think that's going to continue to happen. And social, I think, is making its way more into the search engine world based on being able to bid on audience rather than simply keywords.
Now, I must ask you this question. I mean, you do work for Microsoft. People are bombarded with information about bigger and better companies. How can a business build brand loyalty in such a climate?
I think the thing that businesses now have to realize is, you know, who is their audience? I think sometimes they think of who they want their audience to be, but who is their audience? How do they go after them with the most engaging content that acts as that currency with that particular audience? And who also is the influential people within that audience? So I think in the past, there was always this tendency of we have to reach as many people as possible. I think in the future, it's really about reaching the influential few who can persuade the masses through a lot of the techniques that I talk about in the book in terms of user-generated content and the ability for influencers to play a larger role in your marketing. And influencers aren't just external, they're internal as well. So I always tell people, I'm an influencer. I'm an internal influencer for Microsoft, meaning I speak externally to people like you about why Microsoft is an important company and what we're doing. But I also am an internal influencer in the sense that I work at the company and act as that influencer rather than an external influencer who has no affiliation with the company. We call this employee advocacy, and it's getting bigger and bigger, especially because people trust companies where the employees are happily engaged around what that company is doing. They're objective around what that company is doing. They're excited around what that company is doing. And this is not just in the tech world, but anywhere. I mean, if you pick any job that someone has in New York City, if they're not excited about it, that leaves me pause to want to invest in that company. I like working with companies where the employees are satisfied working there. They're happy. They're bullish on where the company might be heading because that means that they're excited to show up to work and do great things. Amazing. And that means that they're going to take care of customers because they're excited about what that company's doing for customers.
Yeah, it reminds me about an interview we had just recently with Will Young at Zappos. That was also an incredible interview. Well, I can't believe how fast this hour ran out on us. Before I get to the final question, just a reminder to the audience, Jeffrey Cohen's new book, Disruptive Marketing, is available Kindle, hardcover, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, around the world, bookstores nationwide, worldwide. Disruptive Marketing, that is the book. Two lucky winners are going to win it by sending a text to 66866. And these are autographed copies, mind you. 66866, put in the word bottom line as one word, and you're automatically entered to win one of two copies we're giving away this evening. And the third copy we're saving for the end of the year executive business collection. Well, also we have to remind the listeners, John Batchelor is up next here on 77 WABC. Jeffrey, great interview. What final takeaway in the last minute, what final takeaway do you have for the audience?
You know, I think audiences now just have to realize that agility is their best friend in business. So we have always been taught to come up with a process, work toward that process, define that process and repeat, and we will be successful. I think now we're in a place where it's okay to come up with a process and realize this isn't working anymore because customer behavior has shifted. Technology has shifted with it. And now we have to do things a little bit differently to reach that audience. And so almost building agile or agile systems by design is really important. The ability to move where customers might be moving is very, very important. And the companies that can do that, whether they're large or small, really will benefit the most and be the most successful in the upcoming decade.
Great advice. Thank you so much, Jeffrey. Oh, what a great interview. Jeffrey Colon, the author of Disruptive Marketing, a communications designer out at Microsoft. Well, that wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. Tune in again next Sunday night at 11 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.